Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Josh, my friend. Sony did a big old consumer electronics show, which is kind of ongoing at the minute, where they sort of showcase all the various things that Sony can put together. There's some big fancy-ass drone doing the rounds, alongside a whole bunch of PlayStation stuff, which is what we're going to dive into. So they did a sizzle reel showing off various upcoming PlayStation games, PS4, PS5 stuff, and most of them now have release windows, some that didn't happen before. So we're just going to sort of run down some stuff. A couple of projects in here got delayed. Pragmata, which is the Death Stranding looking thing that they initially showed off last year, where it was like the astronaut looking dude walking through a city, and then he sort of beamed off into space and then was standing with a girl on a planet or a moon looking back at the Earth. That's Pragmata. That's now pushed back to 2023. That game is multi-platform with Xbox, though. I thought that was a PlayStation exclusive. Another thing is Project Athea, which is Square Enix's... sort of initially looked like a Final Fantasy game, but it's like their big... It looks kind of open-worldish. It had showed one of the characters bounding between different land masses and stuff. That's been delayed until January 2022. But it is a PS5 console exclusive. It's only coming to PlayStation 5, so it's a next-gen exclusive on the PlayStation. What do you think of either of those before I continue?
Pragmata especially is one I was looking forward to because that initial trailer did look completely mad. Like you said, it had hints of Death Stranded. It was this strange sci-fi thing. I wanted to know more about what this character was, why they were on the moon, what the hell was going on with the Earth. So that kind of sucks that it's being pushed back. It's such a long way because it seems like it's so far off that if it's going to get pushed once, you might imagine it might get pushed again, you know what I mean? If it's already 2 years away. But I've already forgotten what the second game was that you've just mentioned, to be honest. Was it Project Athena?
Project Athea, which will not be its final
Athea,
name.
Sorry. Yes, of course. Yeah, I think that one looks interesting. Like, some Square Enix stuff I can be quite hit and miss with, especially if it's Final Fantasy inspired. Sometimes I get really intrigued by them. Sometimes I just couldn't care less. The jury's still out on this, but the way that Square's been talking about it, apparently internally, it seems like this is going to be a really big project that they're banking a lot on. So that excites me, the fact that it's not just some kind of like potential throwaway thing before they get back to the main franchises, the fact that it's going to be a really big deal. And like you said, it's going to be a console exclusive, at least for a little bit, on PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I like the idea of just full-on next-gen exclusive stuff. Like, the vast majority of these are cross-gen, which I'll sort of get to as you break them down. One thing to throw in very quickly is that God of War was not part of the sizzle reel. God of War Ragnarok, God of War 2, whatever you want to call it. And I wonder how much that's because they don't want to narrow down the reality of that game being cross-gen.
Maybe.
Obviously they'd have to give it a release window, and then they'd have to say whether or not it is actually coming to PS4, which they just really don't want to say right now.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with God of War is strange. Like, I don't know if you follow Corey Barlog on Twitter, but he's been making references to the fact that, you know, it's the projects that Santa Monica's working on or he's working on are going to be done when they're going to be done. And I'm pretty sure he referenced the fact that they might have two projects in the works. And, you know, which I'm sure the tweet was pretty much whichever one is done first, that one's going to come out first. You know what I mean? So the whole thing with God of War, the fact that it hasn't really turned up in these bullet points or anything like that. We always thought back when it was released that 2021 seemed a little bit optimistic. And if there's any kind of game that Sony has announced so far that might get pushed, I think it will be that one, just because all we got, like you said, was this title screen. We got this one graphic. We didn't get to see any even CG footage. And the fact that the turnaround's so quick, I can see that getting pushed. And to be honest, I'm all right with it because I want that game to be as good as it could possibly be, whether or not they're just kind of like keeping it hidden from these kind of bullet points in the sizzle reel because it is going to be cross-gen. They'd have to come out and confirm it when they've been so coy about it in the past. That could also be true as well because they have shied away from that question. And it makes me wonder if that question is still up in the air internally, perhaps, because it feels strange to confirm it for Horizon, which is coming out this year, and keep vague about God of War, which is also allegedly coming out this year.
Yeah, and like you've noticed as well, well, I'll get back into this release date stuff, but like you noticed like looking at Cory Barlog's Twitter that he doesn't list God of War Ragnarok anymore or right now or whatever, and it kind of seems like maybe he's handing the project over to some of the team members, and I wonder about that stuff, because for me the secret source of the revival of God of War was so much in the relationship between Kratos and Atreus, which he obviously took major influence from his own relationship or his own becoming a father and realizing all the different responsibilities that come with that. We can talk about that in some other future thing, maybe a podcast, you never know. But in terms of new stuff or, you know, current games that got release dates, Kena Bridge of Spirits is now coming March 2021. That game's cross-gen. Solar Ash is coming in June 2021. Cross-gen again. Little Devil Inside, July 2021. Multi-platform with Xbox and Switch. Ghostwire Tokyo is coming October 2021, a timed exclusive. And Stray, the game where you play as a cat in a cyberpunk future, is coming October 2021. And that game is cross-gen as well. So you got Kena, Solar Ash, Little Devil Inside, Ghostwire Tokyo, and Stray, which them a grab you.
I want to say all of them because it's a bit of a cop out, but Scott, we were talking yesterday in the News Lads podcast, which you can find over on Spotify or Acast or wherever you get your podcasts, and I was saying like this release schedule for this year looks a bit sparse, and I want some things to be at least have a release window so we can look forward to like next gen games, even if they are going to be multi-platform or if they're going to be cross-gen or whatever. So the fact that these are all being lined up, and the fact that, you know, you've got like Kena coming in March or whatever, you've got Ghostwire for October, like, it feels like there's a lot of content here to look forward to, a lot of varied content to look forward to, and that makes me happy. But Ghostwire is the one that is on my radar so much because I love Tango Gameworks, and we mentioned it, I think, in last week's podcast with Benroy as well. I don't really know what this is, even though we've seen gameplay, even though we've seen quite an extensive trailer at one of last year's State of Play. Like, I'm still not sure what the vibe of this thing is. Is it going to be kind of more horror inspired? Is it going to be more sci-fi, fantasy, or what? I'm not sure. The fact that it's coming out in October, perhaps leans a little bit into the horror part of it a little bit more. I'm not sure, but the fact that it's coming out this year is something I'm buzzing about because, like I said, I love that studio and the concept seems really intriguing.
My thing with Ghostwire is just that it changed Mikami. Like, you know, dude gave us Resident Evil 4, dude helped get Platinum off the ground, and just dude has been instrumental to action gaming. Like, you know, the idea interacting with systems and combat spaces and things like that, or combat systems in play spaces. And I just want to see what he does. Like, he hasn't really dedicated himself to, like, what can I do in thinking with an action mentality or, you know, just enjoyable combat mentality in first person. I feel like first person combat could do with an overhaul or could do with something that is maybe more melee focused that feels, you know, just incredible. Like, I don't know if you played the Riddick games.
The first one.
Right, okay, so there's like Escape from Butcher Bay and Dark Athena, and like they were incredible. And it felt, I remember when like they came on the scene and it was like, oh my God, first person melee just works. And then we sort of went away from that and we got into like obviously Call of Duty took off and we started going down all this first person shooter route, and that's great. But first person melee for me hasn't really evolved in 16 years or however long it's been since like Butcher Bay. And some of the footage that they showed for Ghostwire like kind of looks like you're kicking dudes up in the air, you're doing launch, and then you're using like a whip and there's different combos going on and stuff, but it is always stuck in first person. But also they have that whole horror side of it, which obviously Mikami knows how to do, like did a Resident Evil. For me, it looks like it's going to be more action based, but would you take like a Platinum style game in first person?
Absolutely. Like, yeah, I would be fully here for just something that is blisteringly fast, blisteringly kinetic. And like you said, kind of overhauls what we expect from first person action. I think Bethesda in general, like, has been moving towards that, you know, with their games outside of Fallout or The Elder Scrolls. Like, we've had Prey, we've had Dishonored, we've had Doom, we've had Wolfenstein, now we've got Ghostwire. I feel like they're really playing around in this first person space and trying to kind of push what the core tenets of it is, or what the core conventions and tropes of it are. And I hope Ghostwire does manage to push that while keeping the horror aspect. The horror aspect is integral for me to enjoy it as much as possible, even if it's just like horror infused. It doesn't have to be a horror game, but I want that element to be there quite pronounced.
I am curious what he does, because Mikami sort of... Resident Evil 4 is the one that... I adore Resident Evil 4, I know a lot of people do. But if you're a more sort of Resident Evil pureblood, then you want something more like the old school Resident Evil, more terrifying or whatever, whereas RE4 was like, what if this was just a giant creature with like 10 eyes and then it came at you with a gun on its arm? And yeah, like, I get that. And I kind of wonder if he goes more down that route with Ghostwire. I do want to mention Stray. That game didn't get me necessarily at all, because I was just like, oh, that's cool, cyberpunk and it's a cat and whatever. But there's more gameplay footage out there for that the developers have put out, where, because initially it was like a two-person dev team, and then they've become this whole studio. Now they're doing this game where you play as this little cat and it's in like a cyberpunk future, but the gameplay is, it almost looks side-scrolly, but you are moving in and out, kind of Shadow Complex style, like 2.5D. And you're going like up and down different, you're climbing different things and sort of interacting with a particular android called B12 that you sort of bond with. And then it's like, you kind of get to have this commentary on the cyberpunk city from the side of, you know, just being this animal like running through it. And I don't know, I like the idea of doing cyberpunk sociopolitical commentary from a cat's point of view, and then from some random android that can, I don't know, realize why they are also cast to the side, and you can do all sorts of different commentaries with that. I don't know how deep that game's going to go. Could just be a cat in a future city, but...
That's all I need, to be fair, Scott. You can have the wider commentary, you can have the wider kind of explorations, but just give me that cat in this city, and I think that's enough of a gimmick for me to be interested. There's one that I know that you're looking forward to that has piqued my interest, and it just looks better every single time I watch the one trailer or whatever that's been released, and that's the Little Devil Inside, which just looks gorgeous. Like, everything about that, from the framing to the art style, to the personality of it and the character of it. Like, it's not usually a game I would go for. That would be my immediate cup of tea, but that's blown me away every single time I've glimpsed it.
Well, I feel like we're in like a golden age of like gaming animation catching up with where, you know, like certain like 2D animation has been for a few years, or 3D animation was when we were growing up. Like, if you play Kingdom Hearts 3, like, that game literally uses the same models for Woody and Buzz and the Toy Story characters as the original Toy Story movies did. And just the fact that we're getting there is insane. And then Little Devil Inside kind of looks like a 3D Samurai Jacks looking thing. And Kena Bridge of Spirits, I mean, that, I didn't even realize that was the team that made, if people saw it, the 2016 Majora's Mask fan video, which
That's crazy. This
gorgeous, little Pixar-style animated thing. It just looks brilliant. The other thing to throw out as well is that Solar Ash is made by Heart Machine, which is the dude that did Hyper Light Drifter, which I don't think anywhere near enough people played. But Heart Machine is one guy. I think it's got bigger now. But that was one guy who was suffering from a heart condition who literally made a game about overcoming it. And that's what Hyper Light Drifter is, being this one sort of wandering soul. Like, because that character just randomly coughs and, like, you know, like, bleeds and stuff, like, trying to fight all these big entities that he can barely comprehend. That thing is incredible, and hardly anybody, well, I don't feel like hardly anybody played that. It doesn't get talked about anywhere near as much as I would like it to, so I'm throwing that out as well. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the lineup that we've got, because at least now we have specific monthly windows, and we'll see about getting more specific dates from there going forward. For now, Ivan Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.